Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts including custom intervals down to the tick and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds and even enter and exit positions in one tap right from the chart with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
I was going to try and think of a rhyming opening line, but forget it. This is Triple Captain. That'll do as the intro. Why not? Ben's not here, so we can do what we want. My name is Rich Wolfenden, TalkSport commentator, Radio X presenter, and as always, joined by Luke Jerdy, who I've not seen in a fortnight. It's been a long old fortnight, hasn't it? Time off from club football has been quite lovely. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it actually has, hasn't it? Yeah. Hi everyone. I'm Luke Jerdy. We're Triple Captain at Triple Captain 3 on social media, and Rich and I are going rogue this week as Ben is finally actually giving himself a break and taking a week off because he is busy non-stop, isn't he? Recording podcasts and doing loads of work. He's just a workaholic, so he's having a week off, and so it's just Rich and I going rogue. So yeah, it has been quite nice actually, hasn't it? I've completely forgotten about football. As we were just saying, I've kept an eye on the England games. They're a bit boring, aren't they, really?
It's just not exciting. It's when you're playing these teams that you know we're probably going to beat, but it's not going to be an exciting game. You know we're going to beat San Marino. Although, to be fair, San Marino were in great form coming into this game. I think they'd drawn a game. So I think they were in great form for San Marino. And then who was the other one? Albania. We were always going to beat them. And yeah, Poland tonight, isn't it? So
Poland tonight with no Lewandowski. So, I mean, yeah, if we don't beat them, there's some serious issues, isn't there? Apparently with the bookies, England are favourites to win the Euros.
Really?
Or amongst the favourites, which I'm very surprised about.
Yeah, I don't know who you'd put ahead of us, the favourite. Can you remember who was second favourite?
No, it's just I don't even know if it's definitely true. A mate of mine said, England are favourites with the bookies. And I was like, oh, wow, OK.
I'm going to have a look.
But then I thought of teams like, I just feel like we crumble every time we play against like a big nation. You know, like even if we, yeah. even now, like we might have better players than Germany. But if we came up against the Germans, I feel like they'd beat us. I feel like we'll probably lose our first group game to Croatia.
Yeah, we probably could, to be honest. I mean, I'm just looking at the Euro 2020 winner odds now. England are 5-1. We're the favourites, equal with France.
Wow.
So, you know, that's saying a lot. I mean, France's team hasn't really changed much at all, has it?
No, I mean, I think they'd beat us, wouldn't they? I mean, they've got Mbappe and Griezmann and, you know, Upamecano.
Yeah, they've got some class footballers.
Yeah, Pogba, obviously. Yeah, just class.
They got so many great players. But then after that, Belgium are third next, then Spain, then Germany, then Croatia, who obviously got to the World Cup final. They're, with Paddy Power, this is the ninth favourite at 25-1. Only slightly better than Denmark. Oh my god!
Interesting. Yeah, it's gonna be.
To be fair, Croatia had an old team, didn't they, at that World Cup? Like they were an aging side. As far as I'm aware, they still have, you know, the likes of Mandzukic and Modric still playing for them and stuff. So anyway. International football's boring, isn't it?
Talk about football
at club level.
Yeah, let's talk about FPL. Yeah, so obviously we're back from the break, and we are going to briefly talk about what happened in blank game week 29 with our teams, and then we'll move on to preview game week 30, and we're going to talk about wildcarding, basically. I know a lot of people will be wildcarding in game week 30, and a lot of people will be wildcarding in game week 31. Some people might have already wildcarded, like Ben, but we're going to preview those final those final nine game weeks of the season and just discuss a few of the best options, basically. Fairly nice and short. Rich, how did it go in blank game week 29?
It went very well. I was pretty pleased with my team's performance. 59 points. So, you know, for blank game week, I think that's very good, especially considering it's better than how, like, my double game weeks go sometimes, actually. So, yeah. You know, it's actually worked out for me quite well this week. Brought in some interesting signings, made the double change, brought in the Fulham defender, Adarabayo. He got me a nice big one. Thank you very much, Adarabayo. Never going to say his name ever again. But then I did bring in Trossard of Brighton, and I think he was one of the most picked players to be transferred in for this game week. So well done if you picked Leandro Trossard.
But what else did you do with Trossard? What else did you do?
I gave him the heavy responsibility of captaining Harry's big night out, and he flipping delivered.
Yes.
A nice big 28 points. And I think he was the highest scoring player of the game week.
He was.
So to have the armband on him, just it's probably the best call I've ever made in an FPL, to be honest. I mean, he's not having the armband next weekend. Sorry, Leandro. But, you know, for that game week, he's done very, very well. Elsewhere, across the board, Dallas and Strike got me two. Martinez got me one. Cresswell got me a big fat naught in that mad 3-3 game with Arsenal. But Antonio and Souček delivered in that game. Souček score an own goal.
I can't remember, so long ago. He did, yeah. I think he did.
So he got me five. So that probably should have been a little bit more if it wasn't for the OG. Then Watkins got me two. And Bamford, who was at risk of not playing, did play, kept him in my team, and he delivered a nice big 11 points from old Patrick Bamford. So yeah, a solid 59 overall. Green Arrow up to 800k. So I've slowly clawed back over the past few weeks how I dropped since the beginning of the year. So yeah, it's looking good for Harry's big night out, but we're going to have a complete reshuffle for this game week coming up, but we'll talk about that in a little while. How about you?
Yeah, I did really well as well, Rich. Finally, I got a decent green arrow. It wasn't treading water again. So I really enjoyed this blank game week. I got 61, but I took a minus four, so 57. I brought in, but obviously the hit paid off really nicely because I brought in Jesse Lingard for Gundogan.
Nice.
And I brought in Stuart Dallas for James Justin, but obviously, Dallas only got two, which was a little bit of a shame, but Lingard got 12. So, took a minus four, but made 14 points. So, 10-point profit, which was really, really nice. Yeah, J-Ling's.
J-Ling's delivered.
Rich just did the J-Ling symbol there on
trademarks of Jesse.
Yeah. So, that was brilliant. So, it was midfield and attackers that delivered this week. It's been defenders the few weeks before, but I only had Martinez, Dallas and Target that were playing. I had nine players playing in the end this game week. Mm. Obviously, Martinez only got one and Target got a zero. Dallas only got two. But then Lingard 12, Rafinha 8 and Pascal Gross with 6. I was keeping an eye on that Brighton game and we knew, didn't we? We really thought that they would beat Newcastle and I've said for weeks, they're due to thrash someone. And they did. They thrashed Newcastle. And I was a bit disappointed that I hadn't gone for Trossard. But I can't complain. The 2 weeks that I've had Gross for, he's got a 5 and a 6. So an 11-point return over 2 weeks. Can't complain with that from a Brighton player.
Absolutely not.
And then Rafinha and Bamford, the nice double there of Leeds attackers. Rafinha with 8, Bamford with 11, Antonio with 7, who could have had so much more if he'd have missed that chance that hit the post.
Yeah.
And then Captain Kane. So I mean, I know we kept saying last week, and I kept saying last time, whenever it was, that I wasn't going to captain the obvious player again, but I was very, very scared of Kane's effective ownership this week. I think it was like 180% or something like that. And I was like, if he bangs, I've just got to captain him. Just play it safe. You know, if I'd have gone with a bit more of a maverick decision like you did, I would have ended up making nice profit. You know, if I'd have captained Lingard, for instance, I would have got more points. So it's swings and roundabouts, isn't it? So I'm really happy with that. I'm back up into the top 100K, so I'm 97,000 overall. So we're getting there. We're getting there. I think top 50K would be really nice in the next, you know, if I had another couple of really good game weeks, then that's doable. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Mm. But yeah, it was a decent game week.
Yeah. I feel like, because we were properly expecting, weren't we, them, because of the fixtures on paper, they weren't exciting in the slightest. I mean, Fulham, Leeds, Brighton, Newcastle, you know, even West Ham, Arsenal's not particularly a spectacular fixture, but, you know, Villa, Spurs was probably the standout one from that, and that was quite a dreary game, I thought, out of all of them, to be honest. But we were entertained, you know, that Spurs game with two goals in, it was the lowest scoring game of the lot, so it was quite nice to see some goals in in a forgettable weekend on paper. But I feel like now with this running, it should be solid, consistent, normal game weeks, right?
yeah, I mean, it was funny, wasn't it? Yeah, all our predictions were wrong again, saying, oh, it'll probably be really low scoring. And then West Ham Arsenal was 3-3. Brighton put three past Newcastle and kept a clean sheet. So people that like brought Veltman in, for instance, I mean, what a week he had. Clean sheet and an assist. Obviously, Trossard banged in 14 points. So, yeah, it was really funny in the end. The high scoring. And obviously, when you've got a lot of the kind of casual players who won't have realised that it was a blank game week, only getting 25 average, if you get a good score, you've got a good chance of boosting your rank. So yeah, it went pretty well in the end. But yeah, going forward. So we've got 9 game weeks to go, starting with game week 30. Yep. So Rich, my plans are, I'm going to wildcard in game week 31. Reason being...
Oh, okay.
Reason being, my squad looks really good for game week 30. So Leeds have got a brilliant fixture. Sheffield United at home. And we know what happened to Sheffield United against Leicester. And without Chris Wilder, they've absolutely crumbled, haven't they? And if Leeds are on it, that could be huge. So, and I've got triple Leeds. So I think stick with them. I've got double Villa defence. I've got Martinez and Target. They've got Fulham at home. Really nice fixture. I've got Bruno Fernandes and Kane. Fernandes has got Brighton at home. Kane's got Newcastle. And then I've got Lingard and Antonio from West Ham. And West Ham play Wolves. Salah as well plays Arsenal. Not the worst fixture in the world. And then I've got a bench. I've got Diaz, who's playing Leicester away. And then I've got Stones, Gross and Lowton on the bench. So it makes no sense, really, for me to wildcard just yet. But then the fixtures kind of change and swing in game week 31. So it makes a lot more sense for me to wildcard then.
So are you looking more at the fixtures than a form of players or that sort of thing? Or are you still trying to strike some kind of balance, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely think a bit of both, but the fixtures this week are really good, and after a game week like I've just had, where a lot of my players delivered, I think I don't really know who to get rid of. I've got a luxury transfer to make, really, because if I wildcard in 31, I might as well take a little 1 week punt this week on a player that is low owned, but I don't really know who I should take out my team, because most players have got really good fixtures.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm looking at mine now, and I've got to be honest with you, I didn't look at who the players I was picking would have for this game week. I was literally just looking at it for the blank game week, because in my head, I might as well just use my wild card then, because it's towards the end of the season, and you know what, 9 game weeks or whatever it is, I can make it good. But like you say, I've got triple Leeds in. Two of them are defenders as well, and Sheffield United have hardly scored all season. Bamford, I think, is touch and go. I was just reading there whilst you were talking that he said he wasn't able to walk for 2 days after the game against Fulham.
Ooh.
So that doesn't sound particularly great. So I'll keep an eye on that before Saturday morning. But then West Ham playing Wolves away, who've not been brilliant. They've improved recently. But the form that West Ham are in, you know, you'd be stupid to take the players out of your team when they're coming up a team against Wolves, who, let's be honest, haven't really got anything to play for this season. You know, they're not going down. They're not going to get any European positions. They're just waiting for Jimenez to get back and for, you know, everything to start once more for the 21-22 season, which sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud for the first time. So, yeah, that might be the case, but it still feels bizarre doing a triple Leeds and maybe a triple West Ham 2 weeks on the bounce. But this is the season where anything can happen. So, you know, I might well go with it. I mean, I say that, I've got Fernandez, Gundogan and Salah on the bench who I didn't use the week before. So I could just bring them in and, you know, they're suitable replacements because I'm probably not going to keep Adarabayo or anything like that. And Trossard, despite his heroics, is probably going to hit the bench again. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of don't want a wild card now. I haven't put any planning into my wild card because I was hoping I'd get some, you know, good chat out of this podcast first. But I might hold on, you know.
Yeah.
I really might.
I think you probably should. I mean, particularly if you've got triple leads before that Sheffield United fixture, you've got West Ham who have got an okay fixture against Wolves. You've got Salah and Fernandez who have both got decent fixtures, and we know they're just proven FPL pedigree, aren't they? Gundogan, I know City play Leicester away, but Gundogan's still a good option in any fixture. So it kind of makes sense to hold off, I think, until 31. Obviously, you've got Spurs play Newcastle, so you might want to think about Harry Kane or Son, perhaps.
That's the only problem, because I was literally, everything was crossed that Kane wouldn't deliver in that game because I needed to get him in. But because I already had three players who were playing in the blank game week, I thought it's stupid to waste money on a transfer when I've already got players in this. In this position, you know, if I could have had four strikers, then I would have absolutely brought him in. But obviously, you can't do that. But I think this might be the weekend where, you know, I have to get Kane in, because then he's just going to sit in my team for the rest of the season. You know, he's going to bang. He's been delivering for England as well, so he's just one of them players, and he's like probably the FPL must have at the moment for the final run. And even though Spurs aren't necessarily, you know, pushing for that number one position in the Premier League table.
Yeah, I mean, and he's going to be a heavily popular captain choice again this week. So what we were speaking about is at least making sure that you own the most popular captain choice is quite important, because if you don't then captain him, you're not going to lose as many points as you would as if you didn't have him at all. So it's tempting to bring him in, or do you, you know, cross your fingers and hope that he blanks against Newcastle and then bring him in on the wild card?
It's such a risk with Newcastle at the moment, though, isn't it? They're just asking to be relegated.
Yeah, it's one of those game weeks where I think if we both hold off, which I'm definitely going to hold off because my players have got really nice fixtures. Mm. It's deciding who to bring in on a 1 week punt to go. And I'm probably going to look at someone from Chelsea.
Yeah, but who'd you pick with Chelsea? Because, I mean, attacking-wise, I mean, who'd you go for? Because they've got so many options. Mason Mount's pretty consistent at the moment for England and for Chelsea, but he doesn't necessarily have that high ceiling, does he, Mason Mount? You know, he'll probably get a goal, but he's not going to bang a hat-trick or anything like that.
Yeah.
Pull a six in and out. Werner's been inconsistent, you know.
Yeah, he has. Maybe Havertz could be a decent option, possibly Ziyech. Or you go, you know, for the man himself, Golonzo.
Golonzo, not slow Lonzo, Golonzo.
I mean, obviously there's a risk he won't play.
Mm.
But, you know, if he does play and Chelsea keep a clean sheet, which you'd expect them to keep a clean sheet against West Brom with their defensive record at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if he gets a goal as well. I mean, you're absolutely laughing. His ownership's going to be really low.
Mm.
Why not take a punt on someone like him just for one game week?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 days ago, Rudiger's price went up. And I was like, Rudiger's price going up during the international break? This is bizarre. But it's gone up, and that's obviously because everyone's slowly over the international break gone, hang on, Chelsea are playing flipping West Bromwich Albion here, let's get them in. So, yeah, you know, Rudiger could be a punt for 1 week. You know, he'll probably get you a solid six, but that's all you can ask for from a defender, really, isn't it? Is a clean sheet.
Yeah, and I think really with Rudiger, it's he's somebody that you could definitely get in on a wild card as well. I mean, I'm just looking now, last four matches for Chelsea, guess who's had the most shots in their whole team over the last four matches?
Oh, it's not Alonso, is it?
It is, yeah. He's had nine,
you know,
shots.
What? It's not a punt then. It's a tactically made decision.
He's got a play, of course, because as we know, you know, Chilwell is still slightly favoured. But I'm just having a look now. Obviously, Chilwell's been on international duty. Alonso hasn't. It's an easy fixture against West Brom. You know, he didn't play against Leeds. He played against Everton. Didn't play against Liverpool. So when he doesn't play Alonso, he doesn't come on and get a point or whatever. So therefore, you think, well, why not take the punt? I mean, Chilwell, yeah, I mean, Alonso's due a start. And those stats are quite incredible, aren't they, for a defender? He's had 9 shots in his last 4 matches. He's had 6 shots in the box in his last 4 matches. Yeah. 4 shots on target. And
3 kicks as well. He's on them and all.
And he's created 3 big chances. And he's created 8 chances. So he's the top, apart from Ziyech, he's the top creator. And he's the biggest attacking threat in Chelsea's team.
You're slowly talking me to pick Alonso over Kane in terms of attacking threat here. Slowly happening. Honestly, I might have to bring in Alonso instead of Harry Kane. Even though 5 minutes ago I said he's the must-have.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not they're not huge numbers because that's in 4 matches. So it's only, you know, average just over 2 shots a game, which isn't
but for a defender.
For a defender, it's gold, isn't it? I mean, and he's creating chances as well. So it's not like it's just goal threat. He's also got assist potential. So yeah, I'm talking myself into it as well. But yeah, Alonso could be a 1 week punt, I think, for sure.
I mean, it is the new Pep roulette, isn't it? The Tuchel roulette. Like, you don't know who he's going to start. There isn't necessarily anybody who's nailed on, apart from the man who I was raving about and then hated immediately, Edouard Mendy. His price keeps going up as well. So, yeah, you know, he could be a safe set of hands in your FPL team. I know it's an unfashionable transfer to bring in a goalkeeper, but, you know, why not do it for this game week and then just leave him in for the rest of the season? Because Chelsea are probably going to get into those European positions. And I know he's the first choice.
I think certainly if you're not on a wild card as well, if you've used your wild card, yeah, bring Mendy in for the rest of the season. But I think he's definitely going to be my first choice keeper for the final game weeks, purely because he's got better fixtures than Martinez. And Chelsea are just so on form, aren't they, with defence? And I mean, really, yeah, you're probably looking at a double up, or I mean, a potential advantage to wildcard in this week would be to maybe bring in 3 Chelsea defenders. So go for Mendy and 2 others like Rudiger and Azpilicueta. Bank your 18 points, you know, possibly more against West Brom, if it works out, of course. Of course, West Brom might score. And then you've got an advantage over everybody else wildcarding in 31 who might be doing similar things. So you can take advantage of this week with Chelsea defenders, for instance, and maybe a few other fixtures that are nice this weekend as well, like Everton play Palace, you know, maybe Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin in there, possibly even Luka Dean. United play Brighton. Yeah. So if you don't have Bruno Fernandes or if you don't have Luke Shaw, there's a chance to bring them in there. Villa play Fulham. You know, Grealish will be back. Dean Smith has assured us that Grealish is going to be back. Is he an option again?
Ben brought him in, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And he didn't play. So imagine he doesn't play this game week. He's going to have proper egg on his face, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So I think it's perfectly valid to wildcard this week and perfectly valid to wait until next week. But I think with our teams, it's better to wait. But there's a few things there where you could gain a bit of ground because not many people will have the Chelsea defenders in there just yet.
Yeah.
So lots of options.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
I just wanted to talk to you about Manchester City quickly, because did you see that Aguero is going to be retiring at the end of the season? Or leaving City. I don't think he's retiring. He's leaving Manchester City at the end of the season.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah. So, for nostalgia's sake, and probably because, let's be honest, he's going to get a run in the final few weeks because, you know, he's their leading goal scorer of all time. He's going to get a few games. So, would you bring in Aguero now, or is it still too much of a risk? I know he's been playing a little bit more, but he's not had loads of minutes, has he?
I mean, I'd certainly be tempted to bring him in game week 38 for his final hurrah against Everton.
It's absolutely nailed on. You want a team to follow the script, Everton will follow it. Aguero's last game before he leaves, it's going to flipping happen. You watch. Let's have a look at what Aguero's only got 15 points all season.
Wow.
That is crazy. 10.3 is what he costs. Did a full 90 against Fulham. And yeah, scored. So 6 points, that's the highest he scored in a single fixture this season. 6 points from Sergio Aguero, which is mental. And his ownership is only 1%. That's probably the lowest it's ever been throughout the history of FPL, I'd go and say, at this point of the season for Sergio Aguero. The plan was this week, obviously, was going to use my wild card, but I was going to avoid Manchester City assets just because who are they going to play? Obviously, they've not won the Premier League title yet, but it looks like they're pretty much going to have it nailed on. The only player I think I'd probably bring in is maybe Edison, but he's quite expensive, so especially for a goalkeeper. But other than that, everybody else seems rotatable, even Diaz and De Bruyne. So I just think for the safety of my mental state, and not stressing over the Manchester City starting 11, I'd probably just pick Edison out of any of the Manchester City players.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same for my wild card, but not. I mean, I wouldn't pick Edison because we've spoken about Mendy and his price is better.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, once the league's wrapped up, and it's very very close to be. I mean, even when the league isn't wrapped up, he rotates every single game. So
it
doesn't really make sense if you're on a wild card like we will be. To go with more than, absolute maximum, I would say two City players.
Yeah.
Diaz, Stones and De Bruyne would be the ones I'd be interested in. Obviously with John Stones, if he doesn't play, he doesn't tend to come on. So if you've got a decent bench, you'll get your bench player in. But then, I mean, is it worth it? I think really the only one that's nailed is Diaz, but even when the league's won, there's no need to play him, is there? But then you don't know with Pep, do you? Because sometimes he likes to go for records and things like that. So I'm wondering if maybe there's a points record to break or something like that. But yeah, and also you've got to remember they blank in game week 33. So you're going to have to bench your City assets in 33. Yeah,
City, that's not ideal, is it?
City, Spurs, Fulham, and another team that I can't think who it is, all blank in 33. So you've got to make sure as well that you haven't got more than three there, or you've got a plan to take them out ahead of 33. Otherwise, you won't go in with 11 players. So yeah, I think, in terms of KDB, I think I'd probably rather have Salah because Liverpool have got a lot to fight for. Gosh, they've got a lot to fight for. They've got pretty good fixtures.
Absolutely.
They badly need victories. And whereas with Pep, he can afford to rest KDB and play him in the Champions League and play him in the FA Cup and obviously they've got the League Cup final.
Yeah, they can still win four trophies, and you've got to think what's Pep's priority out of all four of them. I think the Premier League is obviously what he wants to wrap up and sort out as soon as possible so he can focus on the other things. When is the Carabao Cup? I can't even remember when the Carabao Cup final is.
Well, I think that's when they blank in 33.
Game week 33.
Yeah.
Be interesting to know if they could have it mathematically wrapped up by then, because I think he could possibly even rest players in the Carabao Cup final for a Premier League game. Because, I mean, if you're talking prize money and even prestige, you'd much rather put all your money into them playing a Premier League fixture than, winning that trophy. And I think I'm right in saying the prize fund is about £150,000 for winning that competition. So it's literally nothing. That's like probably half of Aguero's wages for a week.
It's all about that quadruple though, isn't it? I think he loves winning that trophy. And I think, I'd be very, very surprised if Spurs managed to beat them, especially when they're on for that quadruple. God, I pray they don't win a quadruple. I really do.
Imagine.
Oh, it'd be horrendous.
Pep is the smuggest man in the world, and if they win it, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, what else has he got to achieve then, Guardiola, if he wins the quadruple
exactly,
in English football?
He might as well leave. He might as well leave.
He might as well go and manage, San Marino, see if he can win the World Cup with them. See if he can do that.
Just quickly before we talk captains and transfers for game week 30, anyone else that you're really interested in for wild card?
As if I was to wild card this week, I really like the fact that Diego Jota's coming back into form for Liverpool. And I think Liverpool got really good fixtures, like you said, for the rest of the season. I don't think he played 90 minutes in the last game, but he certainly was involved because he scored the winning goal against Wolves. So I think I'd bring in Jota. And I think because Mane and Salah and Firmino haven't particularly been that brilliant as the trio this season, I think Jota's the one who can spice it up a little bit. So I think I'd probably bring in Jota, and I'd probably keep him in for the rest of the season as well. And what does he cost? About 7 million, something like that? 6.7. So I think for that price, for a Liverpool side, and you presume
will improve at some point. He's probably going to be one of the main players who will improve them. So I'd probably bring him in, and this game against Arsenal, who are pretty porous at the back, let's be honest. You know, it could be a good game week for Diogo Jota. Is it Diogo or Diego?
Diogo,
yeah. Could be a good week for
Diogo.
Yeah,
good shout. And yeah, just going forward, I think we kind of spoke about this on the last pod in terms of teams to target. Wolves have got nice fixtures, but again, a little bit dodgy going forward. So maybe have a look at their defence. Arsenal got good fixtures. Leicester, we've spoken about Iheanacho and Vardy. There's lots of people I'm keeping an eye on, and I think if we both decide to hold this week and not play a wild card, next week will be interesting as we go through our potential wild card squads, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
go on. We've got no direction without Benny, and we don't know what we're doing without our producer.
Far too polite to each other.
I know. Anyway, what I was going to say was that is it for this game week. Quickly though, who are you gonna captain and who are you gonna bring in? Golonzo, presumably.
Golonzo's really, really tempting me. I'll most likely bring in a Chelsea player, I think, for that West Brom fixture. I think it's a really nice fixture. I'll also have a little look at Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison just in case against. They've got a nice fixture against Crystal Palace. Captain wise, there's three choices really for me. There's Fernandes, there's Kane, the usual suspects. I'm also thinking about Rafinha. I think Leeds have got a really lovely fixture, and it's one of those weeks where we've spoken about there won't be that many people captaining Rafinha, Bamford. I think Bamford's probably a bit more of a risk, isn't he, because of his injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kane's the popular choice. So I'll go back and have a little look. But I'm really tempted by Rafinha this week. But that's not for definite. What about you?
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Transfers in. I think Kane has to come in, and I think he'll be there for the rest of the season. So I think it's a worthwhile transfer. I need to see what happens with Bamford close to the time, whether he'll actually play for Leeds. Because I feel like any of my front three of Bamford, Watkins or Antonio could get chopped this week for Kane. And captain wise, I don't know. It's a tough call, to be honest. I'm kind of half tempted by Mo Salah. I know he's been on this goal drought in the Premier League, but they're playing Arsenal away, and I don't know, you can never trust Arsenal to put in a performance, can you? So I'd like to think that maybe Salah could pull this one out of the bag and, you know, maybe get a goal for Liverpool. All right, sound. So I guess all that's left to say is message us, Triple Captain, at Triple Captain 3 on Twitter, same on Instagram, and here we go into the final throes of the season now. Game week 30. Good luck, everyone.
Yeah, good luck, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Newsjacking with Dan and Katie.
Hello, my name's Dan.
Hiya, I'm Katie.
And we are back with our brand new podcast, Newsjacking. Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're going with, yeah. Not to be mistaken for news jerking.
No, we did talk about news jerking, didn't we?
Posh Bem, the producer, can you confirm the name of our podcast? Is it Newsjacking or News Jerking?
No, we're going Newsjacking.
Okay. Better cancel those t-shirts I got ordered then.
We should probably explain what newsjacking is.
Yeah, what is newsjacking anyway?
Siri, what's newsjacking?
Newsjacking. The practice of taking advantage of current events or news stories as a way of promoting or advertising your own product or brand.
So essentially what you're saying is we're talking about other people's news as a way of drawing attention to our own new podcast.
Basically, yeah. It's shameless, but it's. I'm hoping it will be effective.
So that's News Jerking with Dan and Katie. Going to be starting...
Jacking.
That's News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Yeah. You can find us now in your podcast app.
News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram at Dan and Katie.